I'm chatting to Alec Hogg, who is the founder and editor of Biz News. Right now, Alec, we're talking about the context around Biz News and where you've come from over the last 10 years, what the modus operandi has been, and then we're going to chat about where you are today and what the future holds. So let's retrace slightly on that and the last decade of putting Biz News to play. What has that been about?
Thanks, Brian. I'm really excited that we're able, as partners, we can talk about this because it is there's a bit of a fork in the road, I guess you could say, for Biz News. And we've got some quite exciting developments that are going to be coming through that we can also pick up with towards the end. You know, our portfolios have been very popular, but not too many people got in right at the beginning. And we've got some great news on that, I think. But we'll get on to that later on. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you think back in 2013, December 2013, when Biz News, it was in August 2013 when Biz News got going. So we are now talking about 12 years that we've been around, a dozen years. And it started as a dream. I know a lot of people don't have startups, and there's a very good reason for that, as I found from experience. But even fewer people have two startups, and certainly that they carry on with. You have these, you know, these serial entrepreneurs who seem to like to inflict pain on themselves and go from one business to the other, or maybe they just got too much money. But those of us who aren't blessed with deep pockets or big uncles and things, you know, it's graft. It's hard graft, as you know. I mean, you're an entrepreneur. You've been doing your own thing. And 12 years ago when we started, I had a dream that I would do better than MoneyWeb, which was started above my garage. And I could take all the learnings from there, make it better in Biz News, and one day get to 50,000 viewers, users on our website. One day. Yeah, so it was like these big dreams. And it's just been an extraordinary journey.
I want to delve a little into the business genre because there are obviously viewers, part of the Biz News tribe, and certainly the sentiment in boardrooms in South Africa is that Biz News has been more of a political play than a business play for the last 12 years. How do you respond to those thoughts?
Well, it is interesting. Probably 8 of those years, the first 8 of those years, we were very focused on business. We actually started with offshore investing. That was due to Brett Duncan, the late Brett Duncan at Standard Bank, who said to us, they've got a platform called WebTrader, which they were trying to launch. No one was interested in investing offshore in South Africa. You had exchange control, all kinds of crazy things. And he said, come on, you know, get into it. So we did. We were all in on offshore investing, which was fantastic because we started our global portfolio, which has been just phenomenal. Great timing, great luck, all kinds of good things. But it's gone from $200,000 to $800,000. Rand terms from 2.2 million to 18 million. And that's in that, well, that was from December 2014. So it'll be 11 years. We're going to retire that a little later. But the point was we focused on that. We had webinars before webinars were popular. Of course, COVID changed everything for us. And suddenly this little business, because we were the same size as my old business and those kind of operations, this little business during COVID had the opportunity to start exploring outside of the traditional website area. And what happened was we'd been experimenting with podcasts, of course, because a lot of my background was in radio, and the podcasts were okay, as they remain to this day. Podcasts in South Africa, you know, fairly small. But then we went onto YouTube, and we started realizing that you can have a television platform. Now, you are the goddess of business television in South Africa, so you know all about this stuff, but we didn't. And we went into YouTube, we started building this television platform, and we saw, as often happens, that your users wanted more of certain type of information. And so We gave them more and more on the political economy because that's what they wanted to watch. And I guess less and less of the business sector where we come from because we weren't getting the same kind of viewers. Of course, there is it's a big danger because on the one hand, your base, financial journalism is clearly it's my base as it is yours. Our base is to get deeper into it. And there's just, you've got to follow the money in any economy in any area. But in South Africa, the view was, you don't get the politics right. Well, there is going to be no economy. And my word, for the last 10 years, we've really been struggling on that. But I get a feeling that the politics are starting to look after themselves. There's a lot of there's a lot of wider disclosure. We now have government of national unity. There are more voices in the tent. We've got crazy things happening around the world, but that is what it is. But from our side, the business field is now starting to look very interesting. And there's big opportunity, I think, there to start bringing the business story, not just the political economy story, but the business story to our community. And they're reacting very positively.
And it's about that concept of knowledge being a fantastic currency. Perhaps you can elaborate on that theme. I know you've got a brilliant quote from Benjamin Franklin.
I do. And Brian, it all comes back to the time that I was exposed to Warren Buffett at the Berkshire Hathaway AGM. And you'd sit in the audience of about 40,000 people for 5.5 hours and just listen to these two guys with just the world of wisdom. And I'm talking there about Warren and his longtime business partner, Charlie Munger. And they would throw ideas around of not just on investing, but on life. And they often referred to Benjamin Franklin. They also referred quite often to Cicero and Marcus Aurelius. And I'd never heard of these guys before. And of course, if it's good enough for Warren Buffett, as Jannie Mouton would call him, the Obas van Omaha, well, it was definitely good enough for me. And a quote that I love, and I've actually just pulled it up here in my iPad, an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest. And I think that for those of us who have been blessed to operate in this field, the field that I operate in, where you every day you are engaging with people who have knowledge, who have a depth of knowledge that has been built over a lifetime of reading, watching, thinking. That has got to be the biggest privilege, because where we are, the work that you and I do, is that we take that knowledge of others and we pass it on to those we serve. But by doing that, it also builds our own knowledge base, because you have to know a little bit more about the subject that you're talking about than if you're interviewing a politician with great respect. Most politicians will just listen to what the public opinion is, and they will guide it accordingly. Nowadays, particularly, the politicians aren't really standing up for what their principles might be, with a number of very, very obvious exceptions. And Helen Ziller kind of leads that pack. But around the world, it's a similar situation. And they have ideas, and they follow their ideas. And if their ideas are wrong, some of them double down, unfortunately, because that's not good. Some of them just swap ideas, and they've got a different set of principles and so on. But in business, you can't do that. In business, you cannot just go off and say, we made a profit, when actually the numbers in your income statement and your balance sheet show that you didn't make a profit. You might have had a bit of creative accounting or so on. So I love that, the rigor of business and the discipline of business and the knowledge that comes with understanding that.
Now, you mentioned privilege, and I think we've got to capitalize on that word right here, because after 12 years of building this audience, Alec, if we look at the YouTube platform, you're at 300,000 subscribers, and this is a substantive base. Is it now about that pivot back to business, because you have the opportunity, you have the privilege with a subscriber or a viewership base, a loyal viewership base, that you can start now going back into what is I suppose, a lesser watched environment, and that may not be the perfect terminology.
I think so, Bron. We've got our base where we started from, what I did at MoneyWeb was a website, and we're getting a few hundred thousand, 300,000-400,000, depending on the month, people who come in and they read our stories. The core audience there is probably about 150,000 people who they've been getting their business information there and from elsewhere. There's no doubt about that. As far as YouTube is concerned, this is a mass channel. Now, I'm a South African. This is my home. This is where I've been. It has been until 1994. The television audiences were restricted to licensees, which were the state, and there was ETV, which was doing really badly. I remember that was the only other licensee free to air. You also had obviously Mnet, which had a period of an open channel, but it was very difficult for reasons that the old government they were smart enough. They knew this is the big channel. When people see it on television, it gets to a mass audience. They absorb it easier. We learn much more easily from seeing things, and then from hearing things, and only then from reading things. And it's the same within the media environment as well. So here we are. We've now got our TV channel, and it is a TV channel. We have more than 1 million people a month. In a bad month, 850,000 individual users who go on to the BizNews web's YouTube channel and consume the videos. On average, between 4 and 5 each, and on average, just under 10 minutes per view. That's a heck of an audience. And certainly the people in the marketing field will say, my goodness, that engagement is enormous. So a lot of the questions, though, are how do I improve my life, especially in an environment where I have so little control? And we get this time and time again that people get so frustrated with the crime, so frustrated with bad economic policies, so frustrated with things they've got no control over, and their personal circumstances are not what they should be in their minds and in our minds as well. And so a number of them leave. They leave the country. We can't afford, in a developing country, you can't afford to lose skills. So what's going on in my mind is, let's get back to that basic thing of Benjamin Franklin about the knowledge. Let's start giving people more and more knowledge, not just about what's going on in the political sphere. And there are gazillions of people who are playing in that area. But let's give them knowledge of stuff that we know. And here I'm talking about we, that's you and I. We've spent a career in this field. We have worked really hard at understanding, I wouldn't really call it work, but it's been part of our passion to get to know business better. And I know how to read a balance sheet. I mean, heavens, I've listed a company. I know what an income statement looks like. I have that advantage. So when I'm talking with people who are running businesses, I kind of have an insight which most of our users haven't had the benefit of sitting in those boardrooms and understanding what it's like to be boxing with your auditors, etc. But I know what these guys go through, and I also know where they might be hiding stuff. So now I want to bring that. And I want to bring that into more and more into the public domain, into a way that we can all understand and participate in empowering our own lives and our own future and our own decisions by actually knowing more. You know, we say that you can see it behind you. It says, get context, know more. That's what BizNews is about. But let's get context, know more about things that can help you to make a difference in your own life. So hence this pivot away from being the political economy specialists, and thank you very much. We're not going to leave that market leading position. We're going to continue there, but to also now start investing more for our audience, for those we serve, by giving them information that they won't get elsewhere, and that will enable them to join the dots in a way that can enhance their own lives.
Also want to talk a little bit about BizNews Briefing, where we really started experimenting. Mm. And I know you and I have shared a number of stories where, Alec, we tried live up front. We had some technical issues. I know Kevin Lings came into my one show upside down. So we've walked, this is from August last year. It's a year later. Wow. We have a platform, Biz News Briefing, which happens on a daily basis, Monday through to Thursday. And we've accumulated a very strong audience in that space. I mean, I think what are we hitting? About 1 million viewers on a monthly basis?
Views. Biz News Briefing has 1 million views a month. And that's in a kind of a normal month, good month, 1.3, ordinary month, 800,000 views. It's about a quarter of our total views on the platform. So it shows, the embarrassing moments, the stresses, the Clay Christensen. I know you went to Harvard, so that, kind of Clay Christensen was at Harvard University. He was the guy that wrote The Innovator's Dilemma. He talks about disruption. And he says, with disruption, just start. Just do it. Bill Lynch said the same thing. Just bloody well do it. And we did. And my goodness, did we get the bumps. But today we got a pretty solid platform, and I think a fabulous product.
And it's a long time, Alec, I suppose, just to share an anecdote for you. It's a long time since the days of Hotstock on CNBC Africa, which was the only other platform that I ever really felt that people were watching, because you could feel it on the ground. People would talk to you about the portfolio, et cetera. And of course, it was a fun show with Paul Theron at the time. Many, many years later, I'm feeling the same impact. If I am in the business lounge at OR Tembo, somebody will come up and go, "You're the lady that gives us that news on Biz News Television." And I must say, there's a sense of pride that this really has, from the ground up, grown into a platform that people are consuming. And I often say to my husband, if you watch Biz News Briefing, you're going to get an update on both local and global context that you will be able to inform yourself if you are going into any boardroom, if you are going into any dinner conversation. You have elements of everything that is happening in South Africa and around the world.
I just love that. I get the same thing. Oh, you that guy from Biz News. So it's like they're getting that we're there to serve. They're getting that we're passionate about what we do. And I think we care. And that comes through. And that's what people really appreciate. We don't get given a script and then just kind of blithely read off a script. It's Bronwyn Nielsen and I, we're in it because we love it. We tap dance to work. We will always tap dance to work because we were lucky enough to find our calling in a way. And it keeps me connected with what's going on, because if you're producing, twice a week, you look after the show, and twice a week I do. But it keeps your finger on the pulse. And I think that comes back to the whole idea of knowledge. If you are consuming or absorbing knowledge because it's part of your daily ritual, well, it is the best investment you're ever going to make, because who knows when that knowledge is going to be needed. It compounds. As you know more, you know more. And you know more, you know more. So it's a little bit like I'm besotted with The Economist, the Economist magazine in London. And one of the most exciting days of my life was when they agreed to allow us to republish their content, to give us a license. We're the only ones in Africa. And I didn't know they did that. But they do, and they like us, and I go to see them when I'm in London. We've got the FT, the Financial Times as well, another iconic brand. Also, we're the only ones in Africa who do that. So now you just think about it. If you're accumulating knowledge as a human being because you know it's the best investment you can make, well, why not tap into the best sources of knowledge? And that's what we're doing with the FT and The Economist, by curating that South African or African-related information on it, and we putting that into our daily sharing with our community. So that's very exciting to me as well, Bron, that we've managed to almost upgrade ourselves on that side. It started off with the international stocks in the global portfolio, which was a sponsorship from Standard Bank. Thanks forever, Standard Bank, for that. Because had you not sponsored, I would probably still not know what the investment appeal of Palantir or Amazon or those wonderful stocks that have done so well for our community have done. But it goes on. So the next set of quarterly results from Amazon, you actually understand them and you read them and you look out for them and so on. So it's very much that compounding effect that knowledge brings.
So, Alec, from here back into the boardroom, just a couple of the shows that we have been innovating in the last couple of days, the business show with different variations of the business show. I know you are, yesterday, Cookie Koyman on Analyst's Corner, right? The guru of all banking, investment-related stocks, or in financial-related stocks in the South African and global space. Talk a little bit more about what people can expect from BizNews from this point going forward.
Well, what we are doing is tapping into the best brains. If you like, rest in peace, Neil De Beer. You have left us with so much. Neil and Chris on a Sunday were must watch. They were almost institutions, that show, the Sunday show, for anybody interested in politics in South Africa. And the reason for that was that Neil had this encyclopedic knowledge, and he shared it honestly and truthfully. Now, in the business field, there are similar people. There's on mining, for Mining Web, our international play, which we've also recently begun. Peter Major is the Neil De Beer of mining. Cookie Koyman is the Neil De Beer of investments and financial stocks. Piet Viljoen is the Neil De Beer of South African Inc. stocks or South African investing. And so on. So we have a number of those people that we've known for a long time, people who've been at it a long time, who are honest, who are not there to try and generate a few extra rand into their unit trust because the marketing department says, hey, you're slacking this month. We want more money from you. These are genuine, knowledgeable, wise, insightful people that we can learn from. And the point here is if you consider the Steve Jobs story, and I need to go back and read Walter Isaacson's biography on Steve Jobs again because it was just so brilliant. Steve Jobs' genius was that he could take something from one field and then put it into another field. We are so specialists in most of the time. You know, we're good at mining, or we're a doctor, or we're a accountant. But what Steve Jobs did was he took art and design. If you recall, he was at university for all of 6 months. And what he did in those 6 months, he gave up on his formal course. And he actually just went to the design course and studied calligraphy, would you think, because of the different ways. Because he had an idea in his mind that he might be using it at some point. But he took that and he put that together with computer engineering and science. So he got the art and the science, found where they overlapped, and there was Apple. And Apple was a groundbreaker. And that's really what we're trying to replicate here at BizNews, is to get the Cookie Koyman, who knows all about what's going on in financial services, and the inside story. And it was lovely talking to him yesterday because he gave us an idea of, you know, why did Nedbank go and poach Quinn from Absa? And then why did Absa go and poach Fittler from Standard Bank? And what's it going to impact on those? And why are they bringing in their teams? And is Standard Bank now at the end of the pile? But of course, he says not. He says they got a very deep bench at Standard Bank. So he actually said the guys at Standard Bank might actually be quite not. Of course, they didn't want their colleagues to go, but they might be quite happy because they were a little bit like Liverpool, too many good players there. So it's. And you get that understanding, say, oh, okay, because he knows what's going on. He's been watching it for many, many years. And if you can pick that up, and then there's something that relates from the mining side where you can see, you join the dots, you make the linkages. And then in industry, something going on here as well. You'll bring in a little bit of the politics and the stuff that Chris will talk to on the crime side, Ian Cameron, for instance. And you get this broader knowledge from more areas, like Steve Jobs did, saying, I'm not going to focus just on one area, but I'm going to try and know as much as I can about many areas. That is really the foundation of, if you like, helping to empower our community.
Now, there's another issue I want to tackle. You and I both spend time with the C-suite on a regular basis, whether we're interviewing them or engaging them in conversation at your amazing BizNews conferences. That's something else we need to talk about is the eventing arm of BizNews, which is absolutely phenomenal, and the personalities that you are able to aggregate over those 2-3 days in Hermanus on an annual basis, where you've got the two conferences, the Border Conference and the Investment Conference. But I've actually never seen anything like it in terms of the personalities from both the business and from the political world that you can bring into that room. It's for me, it's very similar to a Davos, the South African Davos that you have created. And I'm sure you never are short of people signing up very quickly. I know that there's no space really at the end of the day on an annual basis. But going back to talking to the C-suite, there is a perception that Rob herself has a financial interest in BizNews. In fact, some people have said to me, Rob herself owns BizNews. How do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, it's crap. It isn't true. Rob does not have 1 cent invested yet. In fact, he's never given us a cent, and we'd never accept a cent from him. Why? Rob is a very well-intentioned person. He's very brave. He's very courageous. And he said things at a time that nobody else was prepared to say them. And we as a nation should be grateful to that. You need someone to break the logjam. And that's what he did at the BizNews conference 4 years ago. And if you think of what happened subsequent to that, at the time, there were so few people who were prepared to stick their head above the parapet for historic reasons. Paul Harris did it many years ago and got it chopped off, if you recall. There were many of those instances whenever within our particular circumstances in South Africa, and we have a history that is going to shape a lot of that, there was just not the, and you can't call it courage, because if you are running a business and you've got thousands of people who depend on you as the CEO to keep the business sustainable, to keep it going forward, to grow the business despite very, very difficult circumstances that you hit up, as we know in South Africa, and we don't have to go into those. It's well documented. Well, you don't. The last thing you're going to do is go out there and start shouting at politicians and making it worse. So Rob Herzog did something at a time where he paid heavily for it. He certainly lost a lot of investments in his various platforms. And for that, we can all be grateful. But Rob Herzog has got a competitor to us. So that's sort of like, I can't get it. I mean, if Rob Herzog owned BizNews, why wouldn't he just put his ambitions here? If Rob were paying me, I can tell you I wouldn't live as modestly as I do, because he's a very rich guy, a billionaire. Hey, so I'd make him pay me a lot of money. But this is, BizNews has got, you know, I like Rob. I think he's done good things. I wish him well in his media ventures. I don't agree with his politics. We are on different pages there, and we've said it often enough. He sees me as a liberal, and in his world, when you call someone a liberal, that's like a serious insult. In my world, of course, I feel like it's a thank you very much. I'm delighted to be someone who thinks that everyone should be given an opportunity and a chance and the way to raise their own voice, but. You know, if people weren't to, if you think about it, they say in Silicon Valley, first they laugh at you, then they ignore you, then they fear you. And if we are getting to the stage where this 12-year-old startup is now being so feared that certain people have to try and invent stories that we actually didn't work hard to get to where we are, and we didn't serve our community to build the audience that BizNews had, but actually we've been given handouts by people who've got lots of money to throw around, one presumes. Well, that's because they fear you. So in a way, I said, okay, that's lekker. That's fine. It shows they're not laughing at us anymore. They're certainly not ignoring us. So maybe they have to invent their own little stories, so that they can tell each other in that toxic kind of area of their minds that this is all just a fluke. You know, Bron, well, you know, BizNews is not a we don't drive Ferraris. We certainly don't holiday in the Alps. We go only go to the Alps for Davos. But it's work. Sure. Don't we work when we go there? We learn a lot, and that's why we go there. We're building on knowledge again. But, you know, good luck to Rob and his business. Good luck to Frans Cronier and his business. These guys have started media companies in, if you like, a competition with us. I don't see that. I honestly remember reading something of Simon Sinek wrote a long time ago called The Infinite Game. And in that, he said that businesses that look at competitors and try and treat business like you're in a football game or I suppose in our context, the rugby game, are missing the point. It's an infinite game in business. It's all about being sustainable over the long term, and you only do that by serving your community. So if our community starts contracting, if people stop signing up for premium, if people don't come to the conferences anymore, if people stop watching us on YouTube, if they stop reading our stories on biznews.com, if they stop listening to our podcasts on BizNews Radio, that's the time for me to get worried, because then we're doing something. It's not that we're doing something wrong. It's not that somebody else is stealing them from us. So with the best will in the world, I truly believe that the more voices that there are, the multiplicity of voices, the more information that is there, the more people will be able to appreciate the difference that we think we make through our experience and through our focus and through our dedication to a cause which is greater than we are, because we're really here to make South Africa great. And now some people are going to twist that into Donald Trump kind of thing, but it's nothing to do with that. We want this country to flourish and thrive, and it can only do so if, like in the early days of America, you had the information providers like Benjamin Franklin who were giving the messages that can uplift people truly.
So, Alec, it's such a pleasure being part of this journey with you. And thank you for allowing me to be part of the entrepreneurial, innovative think tank that is BizNews. I know I've joined you very late in the game. We've learned so many, as I said earlier, so many lessons on BizNews Briefing, and that product is really strong and flourishing, and as you said, a partnership. And now my gut just tells me that everything is aligning, and I am so excited about the interviews that we've got lined up. I've got a number of great CEO interviews over September. I'm not going to say more about them now. I know you've got a lot up your sleeve. So I suppose it's really about to all our viewers and to the subscribers, it's about hold on to your hat, because this is a story that is now going into a different dimension.
And that's a lovely segue into the little announcement that I wanted to, referred to right in the beginning. And that is on the new portfolio that we're launching. It'll be on the beginning of October. It's called the Ricardo portfolio. And you can ask me in a moment why Ricardo. But the idea is that the original portfolio, the model portfolio that we launched, is now just so big that unless people had been in on it early, it really is irrelevant now. So we are retiring that. The Shift portfolio, which we launched 4 years ago as a 5-year project, started off because Shift, almost like what happened with Brett Duncan with the Web Trader portfolio, Shift were starting to offer shares in their platform. And so we thought it was a good idea to have an exponential portfolio for Shift. Month one, excellent. Month two, the market collapsed. So we went from a portfolio with real money this time, because we put in BizNews money, some of our own resources, and we were down 50% in the first year, 50%. And I'm sure there were a lot of people on who had followed us in that portfolio said, oh, damn, you know, why are we following these fools? But today it's doubled from where we started, and that's not even 4 years in. And the story really is, it's not timing the market, because your timing couldn't have been worse. It's time in the market. And then the Ricardo portfolio, which kicks off at the beginning of next month, is going to be done through no sponsorship this time, by the way. But it's going to be done on Easy Equities. And the reason for that is that Easy Equities has a platform where you can put 10 Rand a month in if you want to, or 100 Rand a month, or 1,000 Rand a month. And I love that. We are going to be taking our company. We've set up a stockbroking account for a holding company, Aurelius Media, or Marcus Aurelius, Aurelius Media. And that 10,000 Rand a month will then be invested through Easy Equities in a proportionate basis because they have fractional shares there. And we would then invite our community to mirror that portfolio if they want to, or to take some of the investments that we're making there. But the critical thing here is it's a monthly. Now, the big problem, as you well know, in investing is when you put the money in, because the timing is, nobody knows the timing. Look at that shift portfolio example. But here, they used to have a thing with unit trusts, which they call rand cost averaging. And the concept is the same. Every month you put a certain amount in, and if the stocks that you invested in fall, that means you buy more of that company. You'll get more shares for the same amount of money. And we want our community to participate on as much as they or as little as they can afford. But every month they will come along to the webinar. It's for premium members only. There has to be an exchange of value. So I just felt if we did it free to air, you don't want to get into this pump and dump kind of scenario where people are waiting. And then we've seen it, Brian, I've seen it in the past where people were actually lining up to get the newsletter we were producing so that they can quickly go and buy the shares because they knew it would go up because there were so many people following it. We don't want that. We want a situation where we do have people with long-term intentions, long-term investments, and over the every month they'll come to the premium webinar, which we've held now for 11 years. And that webinar, we update on the performance of the companies that are held in the portfolio and reiterate that story of it is time in the market, not trying to time it, and not trading, but finding the stocks that you can own forever.
Alec, the future looks very, very bright, and I am privileged to be on this journey with you. Alec Hogg is the founder and editor of BizNews.
Thank you, Brian.